2 Kings chapter 13. So we're going on reading about these different kings, these wicked kings of Israel. Now the Bible is largely full of history. It's full of stories of people's lives and the records of people's lives. We could call them biographies. And why is that? It's so that when we go through our lives, we can see that man is not alone. We can see that in principle, what's happening to me happened to somebody else. And you can see how God worked with people. And so that's why we've got all these stories of people's lives. In the 23rd year of the reign of Joash as king of Judah, Jehoahaz, the son of Jehu, became king of Israel, and he ruled in Samaria 17 years. So Israel was split into two. There was Israel, the 10 tribes, and then there was basically Judah and Benjamin, who were the two tribes. And Israel had no good kings. And Judah had a few good kings. But generally, all the people of both Israel and Judah were worshipping idols. And unfortunately, they said that they were worshipping the true God, Yahweh, through worshipping those idols. That was the problem with them. Just like for us, we can think that we can serve God through doing bad things or just pleasing ourselves. So, this new king starts to reign, Jehoahaz, the son of Jehu. But like Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, he continued in those sins, and Jeroboam built the two golden calves in Dan and Beersheba, and said that these are your gods that brought you out of Egypt. And so he stopped the people going up to worship God at the temple in Jerusalem. And all the kings of Israel continued in that sin. And so the Lord was angry with Israel. So God has got feelings. God feels things. And when we sin, when we fail, God does have anger. He doesn't just shrug and think, oh yeah, that's them. Because he loves us so much. So God can get angry with us. And he's got real feelings, which we must respect. So the Lord was angry with Israel, and he allowed King Hazael of Syria and his son Ben-Hadad to defeat Israel many times. But then Jehoahaz prayed to the Lord. But we've just read that he sinned before God. And yet he prayed to God. So you can see how things are, that people on one hand believe, and yet on another hand, they don't. And this is unfortunately the sort of problems that we have as human beings. So Jehoahaz prays to the Lord, and the Lord, seeing how harshly the king of Syria was hurting the Israelites, he gave him an answer, and the Lord sent Israel a leader who gave them victory against the Syrians. And so the Israelites lived in peace as before, but they didn't stop walking in the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. And the image of Asherah, that is this goddess who they worship, this idol, remained in Samaria. So you see how kind God is, that he even heard their prayer and helped them when they were being so wicked, even though they didn't repent and didn't say sorry and kept on sinning. Jehoahaz did not have any armed forces apart from 50 horsemen, 10 chariots, and 10,000 men on foot. The king of Syria destroyed the rest of his army and trod them down like the dust of the earth. All else that Jehoahaz did and his mighty works are recorded in the history of the kings of Israel. He was buried in Samaria when he died, and his son Jehoash reigned in his place. So, God at times will be so angry with bad sinners like the Syrians that he'll do something about them. And yet other people sin, and apparently God does nothing. But that is not to say they will not be judged, because when Jesus comes back, there will be the resurrection and the judgment. And then we'll come back from life. That's right, and those we've loved who've died will be resurrected. In the 37th year of the reign of King Joash of Judah, Jehoash, son of Jehoahaz, became king of Israel, and he ruled in Samaria 16 years. But he too sinned against the Lord and followed in the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. Everything that Jehoash did and his bravery in battles against King Amaziah of Judah is written in the history of the kings of Israel. So man can be brave and yet he can be sinning against God. So it's all really coming down to where a person's heart is with God. The prophet Elisha fell ill with the sickness from which he died. And as he was on his deathbed, King Jehoash of Israel visited him. My father, he said, as he cried over him, you have been the great rock and defender of Israel. Well, this Jehoash, we're told, was a sinner. And yet Elisha was a man of God, but he calls him, my father. In other words, oh, you're my great leader, you're wonderful. It's rather like going to church and saying all the right things and praising someone who really loves God when you yourself are far, far away from God. So all these characters that we're reading of in the Bible speak to us in our modern situations. So there's this wicked king, and he comes and he weeps over Elisha. And Elisha says, get a bow and some arrows. And Jehoash got them, and Elisha told him to get ready to shoot. The king did so, and Elisha placed his hands on the hands of the king. And then the king was told to open the window that faced towards Syria. Elisha ordered him to shoot the arrow. As soon as the king shot the arrow, Elisha said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and victory over Syria. You're going to fight against the Syrians in Aphek until you defeat them. Elisha then told the king to take the other arrows and hit the ground with them. The king hit the ground with the arrows three times and then stopped, and Elisha got angry. He said to the king, you should have hit the ground five or six times with the arrows. Then you'd have completely defeated the Assyrians. But now you're going to only defeat them three times. So in other words, he expected him to understand what he just said, that the arrow represented the Lord's deliverance over Syria. But the king was not very spiritually minded, and so he wasn't open to that kind of suggestion. And so, in as far as we are reading the Bible daily and we're in tune with the mind of God, we will understand these things. But a guy like this wicked king just wasn't like that, and so he didn't get it. And so the amount of deliverance they could have had was far less. So Elisha died and was buried, and there were groups of Moabites who used to invade the land of Israel. There was a time when there was a funeral going on. They were burying a body. And one of these bands of Moabites appeared and attacked them, and the people panicked. And they threw the body they were burying just into Elisha's tomb and ran off. But as soon as the dead person's body touched Elisha's bones, the man came back to life. He was resurrected. I think that was to just show that the real message in the end of these prophets like Elisha was that finally there is going to come a day of resurrection and the kingdom of God on the earth, and that will be the true day of judgment. But we know that that's only going to happen when Jesus comes back to the earth, and how much Elisha actually understood about all that, we don't know. King Hazael of Syria attacked the Israelites during all of Jehoahaz's reign. But Yahweh was merciful to them, even though they had sinned and Jehoahaz was a sinner. Yet God was still merciful to them. So it's not that God says, well, if you're nice to me, I'll be nice to you. Even when they were wicked, because they were his children, he was still kind to them. And it says that he did this, and he would not let them be destroyed, but he helped them, because of his promises with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. At the death of King Hazael of Syria, his son Ben-Hadad became king of Syria. Then King Jehoash, that's the king who had come before Elisha with the arrows and stamped on the ground with the arrows, he defeated Ben-Hadad three times, just like Elisha had said he would. And he captured again the cities that Ben-Hadad had taken from Israel. So then, you see there God's absolute grace, how kind he is, even when people are not being nice to him. And that is such a great pattern for our lives. Because as Jesus said, if you just love those who love you, that is not the true Christianity.